Hello and a warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and it's Steve Palmer to look ahead to the Genesis Invitational this week. Three tournaments to look back on last week. I suspect Steve Palmer is wondering how on earth we didn't find the winner in at least one of them. Is exhaustion setting in at this point, Steve? I mean, you've had a busy few weeks, haven't you?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, your frustration and exhaustion, Jack. I mean, with a little bit of luck here and there, I feel we could have had all three winners last week. I know it's a bold thing to say when you didn't get any winners, but you know, Taylor Gooch was really unlucky in LIV Las Vegas. He lost by a shot there. Tom McKibben played such solid golf in Qatar. Just couldn't get close enough to the pins on Sunday. Couldn't hole a putt, finished fourth. And then Scotty Scheffler, I mean, he looked the likely winner of the Phoenix Open until he three-putted the 13th green in the final round. Yeah, we'll come on to the Phoenix Open in detail, but Scheffler's missed birdie putt, the 13th, was the key moment of the golf tournament for me. He traded at 1-2 on the exchanges and ended up finishing third. So, yeah, huge frustration, Jack. We move on.
But place money across all three tournaments, which is good nonetheless. Let's start in LIV. We like chronology here on the Sweet Spot, so that is what we shall do. It was won by Dustin Johnson. As you mentioned, Steve, it was close. We had Gooch. He came second in the end, wasn't it? You did pick up the team event winner, which is nice. And it feels as if you're trending nicely in these LIV golf events. DJ winning it, a blast from the past.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't take long for DJ to find a groove, did it? He admitted, because we were talking about and speculating how long he took off in the close season, he admitted he didn't touch a club. And then just before the Mayakoba event, he did a bit of practice. He was really rusty for LIV Mayakoba. His team, Four Aces, who have traditionally been the bosses of the LIV team events, they finished 12th of 13 in Mayakoba. So really embarrassing for them. But then last week, you know, DJ's obviously practiced a bit more in between tournaments and he's got his game in order. He held a couple of really long birdie putts at the 15th and the 17th on Saturday. Then he got really fortunate at the 18th hole. It really wound up Gooch backers because Johnson hit a horrible slice drive and then he got line of sight relief, you see. There was a digital scoreboard beside the green. So he was allowed to drop to the left until this, you know, out of the sight of this scoreboard. And that gave him an angle to the green. And then he hit an excellent approach shot, which sort of ended the hopes of Taylor Gooch. But yeah, we must give DJ a pat on the back for his iron play last week. Really impressive iron play. And we always go into the Masters looking for the players that are hitting their irons well, don't we? That's the key to success in the Masters. So, you know, DJ would be really encouraged with his iron play under pressure last week. Former Masters champion, of course. Stick him on your shortlist for Augusta.
Yeah, class is permanent, isn't it? Talking about that sort of line of sight, I often think, granted, you know, these players are in a different stratosphere to the amateur, but you do have certain aspects that are easier. I always think finding golf balls is the one, because you've just got about 50 people just looking for your ball at every opportunity. Yeah. You know, in the amateur game, you've got 3 minutes on your own looking for this speck of white in a field. You've got no chance.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, the frustration of losing a golf ball when you're playing is huge. You know, I mean, I it's such a waste of life. I, you know, when I get to the age I am now, I really eager not to waste any moments of life. So I don't even give it 3 minutes when I'm looking for a ball. If I hit a ball, I can't find it within 10 seconds or I get another one out. But that can be an expensive
And you play expensive balls as well, don't you?
I was going to say, when I'm feeling flush, I can do that. Sometimes when I'm on a bad run, I will spend a couple of minutes looking, but no, you can't waste. Yeah, it would be lovely to have an army of volunteers finding your ball for you, wouldn't it? But you know, do you give yourself line of sight relief? I was fuming when that, because he looked like he might bogey the last hole and then Gooch were getting a playoff with it. But yeah, immediately it was like, oh, line of sight relief. Like, yeah, we don't get that either. There's no digital scoreboards where we play, is there?
No, absolutely not. It feels like you're seeing the ball big for in LIV, though, Steve. It feels like you're kind of finding the right patterns, let's say.
Well, I feel bad for Sweet Spot viewers because we don't preview the team events on Sweet Spot, do we? But on racingpost.com on Wednesdays and then in Thursday's Racing Post newspaper, we do preview the team events. And yes, Smash, I was really delighted that Smash got the business done there. I mean, Taylor Gooch, Brooks Koepka, Jason Cockrack and Graham McDowell were the team. Graham McDowell very, very pleased to reward Brooks Koepka, who signed him over the close season. The team events I have an interest in now. I think there are some angles in the team events. I just can't get them done quick enough for Sweet Spot. But keep your eye on racingpost.com and the newspaper, of course, on Thursdays.
Yeah, no, a great nod for that. And plenty of sort of in-play tips from yourself, Steve, throughout the week, both online and in the newspaper. So if you haven't already, bookmarks or Racing Post Sport, with loads of goodies on there throughout the week. Should we head over to Qatar next?
I don't think we should, actually, Jack, because I think John Rahm, we need to discuss John Rahm.
is it going to start with a word beginning with S?
Yes, shanky. Is that what you're getting at? Yeah, yes. I think we have to discuss it. I mean, I'm always keen to get onto the tips, but we mentioned Dustin Johnson's had a lovely warm-up for the Masters there, got a confidence boost in his iron play. Stick Dustin Johnson on your shortlist. Obviously, John Rahm will be on virtually everyone's Masters shortlists as defending champion. But, yeah, you know, I think his build-up is going very badly, very badly. I mean, he hates live golf, doesn't he? There's no doubt about it. He hates live golf.
I think it's too early to say that, isn't it?
No, I suspected he would hate live golf. And he does hate live golf. I mean, he was trying to get mobile phones switched off on Sunday. He was demanding the fans put their phones on silent. And like in the Mayakoba event, he was really unsettled by the galleries, the music, the live vibe. And he hit some shockers. I've never seen John Rahm hit such bad. Yeah, that iron off the tee that he hit in Mayakoba when he had a chance to win. He hooked an iron into oblivion off the tee. And then at the 15th hole on Saturday, in contention again. And as you say, yeah, shank at the 15th. So that's two of the worst shots I've ever seen him hit have been on this live circuit. He was 2 over par for the final 4 holes in Vegas. So in his first live event, he bogeys the final 2 holes to fade meekly. In his second live event, he's closed bogey, par, par, bogey and finished 8th. So really unimpressive start to live life. Yeah, early days, of course. Yeah, but I think he'll be pretty cheesed off without going. But yeah, he probably gets home and just logs on to his Barclays account and it calms him down a little bit, but
yeah. To be fair, I suspect there was more order in the live event than we saw in the Phoenix Open. I mean, we'll get onto that later, but I just couldn't believe some of the scenes over there. I mean, sort of drunk Americans aren't the best audience for golf, are they?
No. I think the Bud Lights were coming into play there, weren't we? But yeah, we get onto the Phoenix Open. But yeah, I just think John Rahm should probably be drifting for the Masters, I'd say, and Dustin Johnson should be going the other way.
Okay. Keep that on your radar. Qatar Masters, it was won by Rikuya Hoshino. He's won 6 times on the Japanese tour before, but it was his first on the DP World Tour. Won it by a shot. Now, Steve, there was real mixed emotions here for me. We obviously had Mr. McKibben and we wanted him to win. Once he, you know, a few holes out, the kind of dream was over there. So attention firmly shifted to making sure that your good friend Ugo didn't win. You put him up on the previous week's sweet spot. Was it 250-1 or something?
Yeah. I know. Relief.
And lured us in there. Went off 150-1 for the Qatar Masters. And I must say, at points, I was thinking, oh no, he's going to win.
You were thinking it was pylon time, weren't you? Yeah. I obviously, Ugo was really distressing me. It would have been nice to have been on for the each way payout, as you say, 150-1. We had plenty of juice in that. I should have stuck with him. You know, he clearly likes desert golf, clearly a really good player. I mean, the way he was swinging when it was windy on Sunday, he was so measured at times. He's definitely the best Ugo in the world. I think there's no doubt about that. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on Ugo Cassoud. And keep an eye on Rikuyu Hoshino because so solid when he hit the front. You know, he didn't give any sort of encouragement to the chasing pack. As soon as he got in front, you know, there was only one player on the whole field who hit more greens in regulation on Sunday than him. You know, he's bogey free on the back nine. You know, your classic Japanese temperament. You know, cool as a cucumber. So many of the Japanese have just got ice running through their veins, haven't they? You know, he's won 6 times on the Japan Tour. And now he's a DP World Tour champion.
I must say, Steve, as a huge advocate of what was European Tour and now DP World Tour, I'm struggling to kind of get excited for some of these events. I mean, the field was so weak. And I think we head to Kenya, don't we, in a couple of weeks' time. There's a break this week. And I'm hoping I feel revitalised for that because I want to be supportive. I want to feel good about the DP World Tour. And I switch sort of Sky on in the morning sometimes and see that and go, oh, here we go again.
It's difficult when it's a triple header week as well, though, isn't it? When you've got the PGA Tour and Live Golf going up against the DP World Tour, it makes it more difficult, I think. So I think you will get your spunk back. there's a big debate raging at the moment, you know, which is stronger, the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour? You know, sorry, the PGA Tour or the Live Golf Circuit. PGA and Live, you know, you look at the Live leaderboard and it's packed with, you know, major champions, world-class players now. it's a big debate we're having now. Yeah, a couple more signings from Liv, and they may become the stronger tour. But yeah, obviously DP World Tour is getting left behind, unfortunately. But we'll always love it. As punters, we always love those sort of low grade events when you can find an Hugo Casaud.
Makes it even more impressive, Steve. So many players to stay across, and to pick out Hugo was mightily impressive. Let's take a look at the Phoenix Open. It was won by Nick Taylor in a playoff. Once again, what we six PGA Tour events into this season, it's incredibly difficult to kind of predict the winners at the moment. Well done to Nick Taylor, who got it done. I must say, we were obviously on Scottie Scheffler. You were incredibly confident about him. You said he wouldn't be out of the each way places. You were right on that point. I think, did he hit the front or get at least tied for the lead? And I eventually had to retire. And I just assumed he'd go on and win. It wasn't the case. Is it harsh to say that it was the putter that let him down again?
Well, if he had held that birdie putt the 13th hole in round four, I think he would have won. It was an absolutely crucial moment because of the knock-on effects it had from there. He had a makeable eagle putt that 13th hole. You know, I thought he was going to make an eagle. He comes up short with the approach putt and then misses the birdie putt. Then he hacks his way up the 14th because he's absolutely fuming, misses a short par putt at the 14th, has to get super aggressive on the chip at 15 because now he's hunting eagles. Then he missed his birdie putt at 15. So at 13, 14 and 15 was the three-hole stretch that killed him. Three short putts slid by there. Three fives in a row went on the scorecard and he lost the tournament by three shots. I mean, he went par, bogey, par in those holes. I think if he holds that birdie putt at 13, he goes birdie, par, birdie and wins. Yeah, very fine margins in this game. But yeah, as you say, yeah, fact, go this way on each way. Yeah, you didn't lose if you're on Scheffler each way. He went odds on. He did it at the front. He went odds on. He traded at 1.45 on the exchanges. Yeah, you could have got out with a healthy profit if you had a decent stake on Scheffler. I've got no regrets. I've got no regrets, Jag. I think it was I think Scheffler was the each way bet of the year. I got a free bet out of that. You know, Justin Thomas backers, no return. Max Homer backers, no return. You know, no regrets.
Well, if we'd have said to you, Steve, you know, you'd have Scheffler in at the front on Sunday when you put up the bet, you would have taken it, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. So three holes, which was absolutely agonizing. You know, I could talk about this. This would be good therapy for me, actually, if I could talk about that birdie putt on the 13th for the next 10 hours. Have you got 10 hours to spare? Because I could not, when that birdie putt missed on 13th, it was like, boom. I was convinced he was going to win. And then I was thinking, oh, right, now he might not.
What's your process? I mean, you've been doing this for so long and there's been heartbreaking golf bets, along the journey. What's the process for you when you see something not quite go to plan and you're at home, probably a late evening most of the time? Like, have you got a process in place to minimize the damage on your brain?
Well, I'd already had a few tinctures by that point, so I was reasonably calm. I just opted for silence there. Somber moments of reflection and silence. But I'm a very resilient character, Jay. You haven't got to worry about me. I mean, Mondays, I just process things on Mondays, and then Tuesday, as you can see, I'm bouncing again. I'm looking forward to the future. So yeah, even the most resilient characters in the world need time to process things. Sunday night and Monday are normally the time I need to process. Then Tuesday, I'm feeling good again. Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm excited about the weekend.
It's a relentless game, I must say. We have to speak about, you know, the fan kind of disorder, Steve, because, you know, I know we celebrate this tournament because of the sort of party atmosphere, but some of the videos I saw coming out of this place, and I think they stopped alcohol sales on the Sunday. I think they stopped, or they closed the gates far earlier for spectators than they were planning on. I mean, that's not what we want to be seeing at all, is it?
Well, it's just one tournament of the year, isn't it? You know, this is the one tournament where it's a party, you know, and the players who enter it, they know what they're going to get. You know, it's going to be crazy. It's the highest attended event of them all. If you're not up for that, don't enter the golf tournament. That's the way I see it. I mean, I don't like seeing Billy Horschel shouting at spectators.
Though, Steve? I mean, it is, you know, it is their job.
I know, but what a bloody good job. You know, Billy Horschel was shouting, you know, it's our job. And I said, well, they're probably thinking, well, good for you. I'd love to have that job. You know, I'd love to have that job and have people shouting at me and winning millions of pounds for it, and, you know, for doing leisure. I just think, yeah, and Zach Johnson, I don't know what's getting to Zach Johnson. We don't even know why he started shouting. I think there was some Ryder Cup chat.
Yeah.
Obviously his reputation is just not a very good Ryder Cup captain. Maybe some Yanks, beard up Yanks, were having a go at him for not being a good Ryder Cup captain. He's lost it. But, you know, Zach Johnson's a man of God. He should rise above all that. I have a contradictory view to a lot of people. I know a lot of people are siding with your Horschels and your Jack Johnsons, but I just thought, just ignore it. You know, no matter what's being said, just rise above it. You're in such a privileged position. I've got no time for the moaners.
Okay, I wasn't expecting you to say that. Let quick word on Nick Taylor. Won in a playoff last year? Canadian Open, was it?
He won the Canadian Open. Yeah, yeah, he's really gutsy in big moments. Yeah. Yeah. Nick Taylor, I've been guilty of underrating him in the past. Yeah, we need to respect his guts. He won that. He won the, because remember, the Canadian Open hadn't been won by a Canadian for many a moon. And then, you know, he delivered in front of a crazy, you know, crazy gallery. It was brilliant what he did in Canada. And then, you know, he stepped up when needed in Phoenix on Sunday, didn't he? You know, he was well behind Charlie Hoffman going into those last few holes. And he's a world number one amateur. He's a former world number one amateur, Jack. It's Nick Taylor. So, I mean, what did you expect? I know you've got huge respect for former world number one amateurs. So I expect you were piling in running.
I'm sure whoever the admin is of the Sky Sports Golf account has been watching this and trolling me, because there was two posts last week about Hishino being the former number one.
No, Nakajima, wasn't it? Nakajima.
Nakajima, sorry. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Hishino has been as well. No,
yes.
I'm sure he has been at some point.
No, Nick Taylor was really, really good amateur. And now he's a four-time PGA Tour champion who we have to respect. And I was pleased he beat Charlie Hoffman. Again, I have the opposite view of a lot of people. Getting all excited about Charlie Hoffman. Oh, this lovely, fluffy underdog. They're just forgetting that he was horrible about the PGA Tour when the LIV stuff started. Mm. Yeah, when LIV started, Charlie Hoffman was really critical of the PGA Tour. He was Phil Mickelson's little helper, you know. But people have forgotten everything Charlie Hoffman said. You know, it was Sergio Garcia who was giving the PGA Tour loads of stick. Charlie Hoffman was giving the PGA Tour loads of stick. Phil Mickelson, obviously the leader of the pack there. And, I couldn't share in all this love for Charlie Hoffman. You know, a 999-1 chance on the exchanges as well. You know, so for punters, I had no interest in Charlie Hoffman winning. A few people would have backed Nick Taylor because he was Phoenix Open runner-up last year. I was cheering on Taylor over Hoffman just because I couldn't have this love for Hoffman. He's not a fluffy underdog.
Well, it's clear you've nor forgiven or forgotten in the case of Charlie Hoffman. I mean, you must have been thinking at one point, Steve. You know, I've. Everything that I predicted has happened with Scottie Scheffler to an extent, and now he's going to be beaten by Hoffman. I mean, the golf betting is just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. My wife would join me on the sofa for about half hour of that golf tournament on Sunday, and when Charlie Hoffman was hitting the front, she was going, "Who's that? Who's that?" I said, "He can't win. He can't win. Don't worry, he can't win. Don't worry, he can't win. Don't worry, he can't win." And he's got like three shots. Don't worry, he can't win. Three shots ahead, odds on. So I was right in the end, but.
I've always wondered this, Steve. How does the sort of remote control situation work at your house? I mean, have you got like multiple TVs? Because it seems like you've always got the golf on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got upstairs and downstairs, but the upstairs facility is much smaller. You know, a very small screen, which I don't like because my eyes are so bad. So if I get banished to the upstairs one, I have to literally perch on the end of the bed and just stare at it from half a yard.
I thought about getting your eyes tested and getting some specs.
Well, I had lasers, didn't I? The lasers have worn off. Yeah, I had lasers, you know, I don't know, what was that, 20 years ago? And they've worn off, and now I am blind. So
Can you re-laser?
This is what I need to look into. Yeah, the next time I get a nice return, you know, that's confidence. Yeah. The next time I get a big bumper payout, confident that's going to happen before I die. I will get the lasers looked into.
Well, we'll go together, Steve, because I'm looking into it. I mean, it's horribly expensive. Because I don't mind wearing glasses, but it's when you like play football. And I tell you the really tricky thing. I've started to play snooker again, and it's obviously impossible to play with glasses on. I need to get some sort of Dennis Taylor glasses. But the missus isn't letting me invest in a pair of those.
You're right. Snooker's difficult on the long pots, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't see the ball you're potting at. You've just got to go on muscle memory. Yeah, we need to get our eyes sorted. It's not as expensive as you think. I don't. It's the best invest. Put it this way, it's the best investment you can ever have. Yeah, being able to see is worth
for you,
so much
blind
more.
Again.
Well, I'm going to get it done again. I can't wait to get it done again, if it's possible. Yeah, Ewan Ferguson, who we often backed, and he threw the French Open away when we were on him. He has to wear contact lenses. He's been having problems with his eyes, and the contact lens ish are causing him stinging eyes and stuff. So he maybe is not able to have laser eye surgery. There's certain people that can't have it, isn't there?
I tried contacts. Never again. Absolutely hated them. Just could not get on with it. Anyway, enough about our eyesight, Steve. This is turning into sort of an optician's therapy session. Well done to all of the winners and those that found the winners last week. We shall go again this week. Just the one tournament to preview. It's the Genesis Invitational. It's at Riviera Country Club. Talk us through the layout, Steve.
Yes, Pacific Palisades, California, 7,322 yards, par 71, three par fives. Riviera has been used for this event every year since 1973, apart from 1983 and 1998. It's also hosted the 1995 USPGA and the 2017 US Amateur Championship. The defending champion is not here, of course, Jon Rahm. In fact, this is an amazing stat. 8 of the last 16 winners of this event are now LIV golfers. There's hardly any course winners in this field because of that. You know, your Bubba Watsons, your Phil Mickelsons, Adam Scott and Max Homer are the only course winners in this field, despite this being used for so long. The weather forecast is great. You know, the PGA Tour bosses must be pulling their hair out. The weather's been terrible on the PGA Tour this year, but this event should run smoothly. Sunny and calm throughout. You want strong ball strikers on your team. It's all about greens and regulation again this week. Ideally, you want faders, right-handed faders. The shape of the course suits faders. But most importantly, you need course experience, Jack. Only 2 of the last 21 winners had played fewer than 4 tournaments at Riviera prior to their victory. And a field of 70 going to post this week, Jack. It's an elevated, designated signature event. 3.6 million going to the winner. And there is a halfway cut. It's very, very quirky, this. Tiger Woods is the tournament host, of course.
I was going to say, how long was it going to be until he mentioned Tiger? Far longer than I thought, actually.
Well, he's big on cuts. I mean, there's all this controversy over whether there are going to be cuts in these elevated, designated, limited field events. And Tiger Woods is big on cuts because he never missed a cut, did he? Yeah, I know he literally did miss one or two, but yeah, his cut record is unbelievable. And the idea that he's just going to destroy cuts on the PGA Tour, he was never going to do that. But this is such a hard cut to miss. You'll be very gutted. Yeah, the top 50 plus ties get in. It's a 70-man field. The top 50 plus ties get in, plus anyone within 10 shots of the lead. So, we're going to have...
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you miss the cut in this, you hang your head in shame.
Well, hopefully, we may restore some form of order to the PGA Tour. It may well be slightly easier to find the winner. Steve Palmer, how many selections for this tournament?
3.
3 selections. Let's run through the top of the market before we get your selections. Scottie Scheffler, that we were so keen on last week, is 7-1. Rory McIlroy, 10. Jean Deschauffele, 14s, alongside Victor Hovland. Justin Thomas, 18-1. Ludvig Åberg, 18-1. Patrick Cantlay, Max Homer, same price. Bigger the rest. Are we going near the top of the market or are we avoiding them, Steve?
Going quite deep, actually. And yeah, all the market leaders, whether 5 of the market leaders I don't like. We'll discuss those 5, the top 5 in the betting I don't like. So I'm just below it.
Okay, we'll do that at the end, why you don't fancy them. Who is your main selection for the Genesis Invitational?
It's Patrick Cantlay, 18-1, who is playing on his favourite golf course this week. He adores Riviera Country Club. He went to the University of California in Los Angeles. He knows Riviera like the back of his hand. He's a Californian teeing up in his home state this week. He's already won a PGA Tour event in California. He won the 2020 Zozo Championship at Sherwood Country Club. He was runner-up in California in the 2021 American Express. And in this particular Golden State gathering, he has featured on this leaderboard a lot. He was 4th in 2018. Great effort. 3 shots shy of the winning mark. He was 15th in 2019, 17th in 2020, 15th in 2021, 33rd in 2022, and then 3rd last year. He carded 4 rounds of 68 or better last year. I think it's only a matter of time before Cantlay wins this tournament. I think it might happen on Sunday. He's made a steady but unspectacular start to the year. You know, unspectacular.
That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
It's a long word, isn't it? A steady but unspectacular start to the year. And I wonder whether golfing politics has dragged him down a bit so far this year. You know, he's on the PGA Tour's policy board.
Mm. And there's obviously, of course, he is. I mean, if there was one person to be on that, it's Patrick Cantlay, isn't it?
Well, apparently he's brilliant. He's ruthless on it, by according to Jordan Spieth. Yeah, he doesn't say much, but what he says, he doesn't do pleasantries or niceties. Really, just cuts to the chase. And you know, Jordan Spieth absolutely worships him for his work in those meetings now. But the PGA Tour, of course, have just made a big breakthrough in making this signing with SSG.
Employers. SSG.
No, not Spotlight Sports Group, but Strategic Sports Alliance. And that's a huge weight off Cantlay's shoulders there. He's got this alliance with Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Yeah, it's all mates together. They're happy for the PGA Tour to go it alone without the LIV guys and without PIF involvement. They think this $3 billion deal is going to get the job done. Spieth has been so complimentary about Cantlay's role in all this. Yeah, Rory McIlroy's on the other side of the argument now. It's amazing what's happened. McIlroy wants the LIV guys to come back. Spieth, Cantlay, Thomas don't. I just think Cantlay's in a great mood now. Yeah, the PGA Tour is developing how he wants it to. He skipped the Phoenix Open last week to freshen up for Riviera. I think that was a great move for his Riviera chances. I mean, he would have seen all the weather delays. You know, Scottie Scheffler playing a million holes on Sunday. You know, a lot of his rivals were burning themselves out in Phoenix on Sunday in that bear pit atmosphere that you mentioned. Cantlay's got his feet up, laughing his socks off. He finished 11th at Pebble Beach in his last event. Serious title tilt coming. Yeah, we mustn't forget he's a former world number one amateur, former FedEx Cup champion, seven-time PGA Tour champion. So, yeah, we're going to get back-to-back former world number one amateur winners on the PGA Tour.
I think that was the greatest description of Patrick Cantlay I've heard. Steady but unspectacular. I think that sums him up beautifully, not just this season, but I mean, he's just such a kind of ploddy type character, isn't he?
He's an absolute machine, isn't he, in life? He's one of life's machines. But, you swap with him in a heartbeat, wouldn't you, Joe? I know you're a happy man, but he's a machine that's doing well, isn't he? He's a machine that's doing well in life. And we're going to love him. We're going to love him on Sunday.
Yeah, but one of those, Patrick, I mean, there's not a lot more to say about it.
His Ryder Cup performance, Jack, if you wanted to, some more to say, gutsy was he in the Ryder Cup there?
Yeah, everything was gutsy,
That moment where he just suddenly turned it on, holding everything in a crucial match, and then it all kicked off with his caddy, didn't it? Joe LeCava and had a shouting match with Vary, he's waving his hat and whatnot. But, easy to forget during all that furore that Cantlay played amazing golf in the highest pressure imaginable. Yeah,
he's got that nasty streak in him that you almost need, hasn't he? You know, he's got that ability to turn nasty when he needs to. All elite sports people do.
He's won the FedEx Cup. How many players have won the FedEx Cup? Yeah, he loves money by all accounts, and there's plenty of money up for grabs this week. Yeah, $3.6 million check. We'll get the focus of Cantlay, and I think this machine is gonna win.
Okay, great stuff, Patrick Cantlay, the main selection for the Genesis. Who's up next?
Next best is Colin Morikawa at 20-1. You know, Cantlay and Morikawa, the best value by far for me. Rock solid each way bets. Morikawa, born in Los Angeles, went to the University of California. This event means a lot to him. The course is ideal for him. He's guaranteed huge support every time he turns up there. We mentioned how helpful a fade is around here. Morikawa's natural shot shape from the day he was born is a lovely, controlled fade. He's always seemed destined to become a Riviera champion. He first competed here in the 2017 US Amateur that we mentioned. He finished 8th in the stroke play section of the event, and then he went to the last 16 stage of the knockout. He lost to Kevin Yu, actually, who's also playing this week. Keep an eye on Kevin Yu. So Morikawa showed an early liking to this track. Then in his Genesis form figures have been 26, 43, 2, 6. Wacom Neiman was the only man to beat him in 2022. No Neiman to worry about, of course, this year. And Morikawa is in fantastic nick, Jack. He was the fourth best scorer in the Tour Championship in his final event of last season. Then he went on to win the Zozo Championship by 6 shots. He was seventh in the Hero World Challenge, fifth in the Century. Missed the cut by a shot in the Farmers. Torrey Pines South got virtually waterlogged. It was a real slog for him in the end. Then he was 14th last time out in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Swinging great, massive opportunity. Won the 2020 USPGA in California, Jack, let's not forget. I can see him winning a 7th PGA Tour title in his home state on Sunday. And lest we forget, final point, lest we forget, really crucial point this, Jack. You probably would have made it yourself if you had the opportunity. He's a former world number one amateur. He only spent 3 weeks as a world number one amateur. But I am
convinced at this stage, all of your fine work and research is thrown out of the window. You go down the list, who are the world number one amateurs, and just tip them blind at this stage. Well, I think that's what we've got to, Steve.
No. I just love it. I love this theme we've got of winding you up with these poor people. But yeah, Cantlay and Morikawa, two of the best golfers that California has ever produced. They'll both be popular winners this week.
Just in terms of Morikawa, and you mentioned that major win back in 2020. Remember it really vividly. And I think that all of the chat at the time was like, this guy is going to properly kick on and become one of the world's, you know, best. And he is that. Of course he is. Yeah. But I'm not going to say it's been disappointing since then, but I expected him to do more. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, but it, probably because you didn't expect him to do so much so quickly. It was incredible, wasn't it? To win two majors that quickly. It was a phenomenal start to his career. And he's entitled to have a year or two not sustaining that pace. But I'm really excited about how he's been swinging it lately. He's got that baby fade. Absolutely purring again. Morikawa was difficult to ignore this week. And, you watch that crowd get behind him when he's up there. Yeah, when he finished second behind Wacom, he's come with some late rattles here and the crowd's got right behind him. He's a very, very popular character in these parts. I think it could be a joyous week in the Golden State sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of textbook golf swings, here's exactly that. So we've got Cantlay, we've got Morikawa, we've got one to go. Who is it?
Siwoo Kim, my lord. Oh, yeah.
Go on, give us a full rendition. Go on.
Well, give me time. He's the best outsider for me. He's a four-time PGA Tour. You forget. I mean, we talk about forgetting things. You forget how good Siwoo Kim was and how young he was when he's an absolute prodigy, wasn't he? He won the Players' Championship about a million years ago at Sawgrass. Yeah, four-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 28. One of those wins came in California, the 2021 American Express, which we'll never forget.
That was a good weekend, Steve.
That was joyous. That was joyous. This is the joy that golf betting can bring. Never mind last week's frustrations. Let's talk about the joy. And he has also won a Corn Ferry Tour event in California. He loves this part of the world. He spent his late teens living in the Golden State. His record in California generally is excellent, and he's been on the leaderboard in the Genesis Invitational. A lot of times in his career, he's come to this tournament either lacking form or lacking fitness or lacking both. You know, Siwoo's had loads of injury problems in his career. The first time he turned up at Riviera with both fitness and form was in 2019, and he finished third, outscored everybody in the field in the final round, ended up 2 shots behind the winner. The 2020 Genesis is worth mentioning as well. He turned up for that, having missed the cut in his previous 5 tournaments. After that Genesis, he missed the cut in his subsequent 4 tournaments. But in the Genesis, he finished 37th. So even amid one of the worst spells of his career, he still managed to bank a healthy check at Riviera. He hasn't made much impact there since, but I love the way he's been going quietly about his business this season. Solid golf, slowly but surely improving. 25th in the Amex, 14th in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, 12th in the Phoenix Open last week. He's footloose and fancy free now, Jack, lest we forget. Because of that medal in the Asian Games, you remember?
Oh, yes. He
won the medal in the Asian Games. He secured his freedom to be a professional golfer for as long as he wants. He hasn't got to be a soldier. National service is gone for Siwoo Kim. And I think he's relaxed and more PGA Tour titles are inevitable. And I think they'll come at a course where accuracy is fully rewarded. He's so solid from tee to green now. A natural fader for Riviera. If we can get a half-decent week out of him on the greens, Siwoo can join your Cantlays and your Morikawas on the leaderboard.
I think everyone has that player that, you know, isn't one of the world's best and slightly unconventional that they just love watching, and that's Siwu.
Yeah.
I think he's an absolute delight once he gets going.
He's a born entertainer because he's so unpredictable. He's headstrong. He does crazy things on the golf course. But he's mentally tough, I'd say. Mentally tough, because he's had to be. From a very early age, he's been sent over to America to become a professional golfer. His dad sounds like a bit of a sort of pushy dad, I think, is the is the term that's used. I've seen interviews with Siwu where I felt quite sorry for him. You can see his dad's sort of tactic with Siwu is to tell him how rubbish he is and tell him that he's got to work harder than everyone else to get, you know. And poor old Siwu's got a bit of an inferiority complex around the elite players because he's had this drilled into him. You're rubbish, Siwu. You're rubbish. You know, you've got to work harder than everyone else. And it's not a modern parenting technique, but
no,
it's one that has sort of got results to a degree. But he is better than he thinks he is.
Was it not Cantlay who won? So Siwu won the Amex, didn't he? Was it Cantlay that was second?
Cantlay was coming with a late rattle. Right. Cantlay was coming with a late rattle, and then Siwu managed to repel him. We'll never forget that weekend. I think Siwu needs to believe in himself a little bit more. He's better than he thinks he is. He's better than his dad tells him he is. He's the best outsider. He's the best outsider this week, if you can call him an outsider. But obviously, in a field of 70, you're not going to get many with lively chances at 51 plus.
No, well, I love the sound of that. Let's talk through some of the market leaders, Steve. Scottie Scheffler, obvious favourite, 7-1. You've got Rory in there as well. Out of those two, who would you be most keen to put on your bet slip?
Well, we're 7-1 Scheffler this week. He's never won in California. He played a lot of golf on Sunday, as we mentioned. He looked jaded coming up the 72nd hole. I think it was a mixture of fatigue and sort of dejection because he knew he'd blown a golden opportunity with three holes of terrible putting. The putting let him down all week, really. He was top for greens in regulation again, obviously. 44th for putting. The shape of Riviera suits him, natural fader. Yeah, I expect him to place again, but the opposition, of course, much stronger this week. And I much prefer the bigger prices about my ones. Did you say Rory? Did you?
I mean, a lot. You know, there's people out there who'll just back Rory blind. What's the reason for not doing that this week?
I don't think 9-1 is particularly good. He's never won a PGA Tour stroke play event in California. Doesn't usually play much on the West Coast. I never like going near him in on the West Coast. Riviera is the one. He does usually play. He's got a decent record round. He's never won it, but decent record. But he was pretty awful at Pebble Beach last time out. Did you watch him there? I saw a lot of him in the early coverage there, and he was putting terribly and looking. Yeah, I don't think he likes the greens on the West Coast. Yeah, I can definitely live without McIlroy.
Yeah, and then you've got a couple of players, Steve, sort of around about 18-1. Justin Thomas, Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland. I know is a little bit shorter than that. I'm sure will attract interest this week.
Yeah. Victor Hovland's a fascinating conundrum these days, isn't he? He's 12-1. Firstly, we should mention in the US Amateur at Riviera, he was terrible. He was 10 over par for two rounds, nowhere near qualifying for the knockout stages. But his Genesis record is much better. Form figures are 5-4-20, natural fader. But he hasn't played much this year. 22nd in the century, 58th at Pebble Beach. It's been lackluster stuff. And that decision to switch coaches in the closed season, do you remember we mentioned that? He sacked his coach after the most successful season of his career, gone with Grant Waite. I've lost faith in Victor since hearing that news. I can't believe he did it. And it seems very odd. Hovland, no interest. Xander Schauffele is next in the betting. He withdrew from the Phoenix Open last Monday. Reports of a wrist issue. So immediately with a wrist issue, you're not going to be playing at 14-1, are you, the following week? And then Max Homer is the next one down. Loves Riviera. We love Max Homer. He's a former champion here. You'd massively respect him if he was in good form. But his last two starts have been terrible. Pebble Beach and Phoenix, two places you'd expect him to do well. He's flopped. Yeah, he seems to have lost his A game in an inopportune time. Ludvig Åberg, you mentioned, obviously his ball striking was amazing at Pebble Beach. I think he would have won that tournament had he got the final round in. His putting has been up and down. He doesn't seem to like the West Coast greens. He struggles on them. But Tournament debut. There were reasons. There were just enough reasons for us to resist him. But we will be backing him at some stage this year, and we will be winning on Olympic Orbiter.
Well, there we go. That's the top of the market covered off. A quick word on Tiger. I see he's released a new line of merchandise. Steve, I thought I'd see you kitted out in Sunday red. Maybe you can have laser eye surgery and head to toe in Sunday red on the next big win.
Yes. No, I will. I look forward to getting some Sunday red. I suppose he's moving into business now, isn't he? I mean, anyone backing him 150-1 this week, yeah, is very optimistic. I mean, Tiger Woods has never won at Riviera. Like, it's the one tournament on the PGA.
Really?
So, yes, it's the one. It's the one tournament, the one regulation tournament he's never managed to conquer. I don't know what to expect. I hope he makes the cut. I mean, maybe the reason he's made this cut so easy to make is because he knows he might struggle. I think he'd be hovering around 50th place. Let's hope he makes it.
Well, if he doesn't, you've told your hero he must hang his head in shame. So what's coming up in your life the rest of this week, Steve?
I just need some sleep, Jack, to be honest with you. I've had back-to-back triple headers, haven't I? Yeah, triple headers can really tire you out when you're following all the action and you're heavily invested. I'm so pleased there's only one tournament this week. This is a chance to recuperate. We've got two next week. We've got three the week after that. There's another triple header creeping up at the end of the month. So I'm going to try and take it easy and get some sleep this week. But I have got Tommy Tiger on my own. My wife and my daughter are off on their travels again. So it's me
God,
and Tommy.
They are jet setters, aren't they? Those two. My goodness.
they like heading to Brighton. So we're going to, me and Tommy Tiger are alone. We'll probably watch the football. Yeah, Weymouth are playing well. We're going to go and watch Weymouth play Worthing, and then probably spend a lot of time down at the snooker club. But I need to get some sleep. The trouble is, Jack, these Californian events, we must warn the viewers, it's the usual problem for UK fans. Hopefully the PGA Tour will get the tee times as early as possible, because they are more aware of ratings, worldwide TV ratings now, the PGA Tour. There was a tournament the other day that I can't remember what it was, but they brought the tee times further forward than usual to get that UK audience. So if you're watching Jay Monahan, I would like you to make the tee times as early as possible over the weekend so UK viewers can enjoy it. I promise to watch, Jay.
I mean, in the world of hybrid working now, Steve, I know you've adopted home working for quite some time. Maybe you should fly yourself and the family out to America and just base yourself there. That would make it easier with time zones. Blimey, go and live in California. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
There's an idea. Yeah. I think I'd go Florida if I was going to go anywhere. Yeah. I've only been there once, but I absolutely loved it. I could happily relocate to Florida, but I haven't got enough bunts for that right now.
There we go. As you said, two tournaments next week. We've got the Mexico Open and we've got the Kenya Open. I always love the Kenya Open for some reason.
Magical, isn't it? Magical.
It really is. Just recap your selections to end things off, Steve. Who are you picking for the Genesis Invitational?
Patrick Cantlay. Colin Morikawa, Siwoo Kim, my lord.
Very good. Steve, thank you very much. If you're backing any selections in the golf this week, please remember to do so with money that you can afford to lose. We will see you again next Tuesday for another episode of The Sweet Spot.